And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. So, Dave, there was a real thunderclap in Pennsylvania this week. Who would have imagined?
Especially where it happened.
Especially where it happened. Right.
There was an election to fill a vacancy in the Pennsylvania State Senate. The state senator that represented down in Lancaster County, which is a hardcore Republican area and district.
Never voted Democratic in the majority, right?
Yeah, they've voted Republican in Lancaster County every year since the Civil War, basically. The only time they voted for a Democratic president was Lyndon Johnson in 64. But for the local offices, it's all been Republicans in the state Senate. This district got reconfigured in 1983, and of course, only Republicans have held it. But the state senator there got a job with U.S. Senator Dave McCormick, so he resigned. And lo and behold, the Democrat won the special election.
And Trump carried this district by what?
15 points.
15 points?
Yeah. The Democrat won by a little under 500 votes, but still, shouldn't even be close.
Right.
Shouldn't even be close. And by the way, the Democrat also won the election out in the Pittsburgh area to fill the vacancy in the state House district where the Democrat had passed away. So that, again, keeps the Democratic majority in the state House at 102 to 101. Over the last several years, there have been about a half a dozen of these elections where the Democrats had to win every one of them to stay control, and they did.
And, of course, the only reason these things are like that is because the legislature is so gerrymandered.
Yes. Yes. Now, the state Senate was 28-22 Republican, and now, at least for the next couple of years, it's going to be 27-23 Republican, which means that the Democrats only need to change two votes to get control because they have the lieutenant governor can break a tie.
And is there any possibility that there are two votes that could be broken from the Republicans on any issue?
There are probably some issues that it could happen, although there are very few moderate Republicans in the state Senate, but
right.
There could be certain things. So, but the main consequence of this is that it has spooked the Republican Party. Remember, they were going around talking about that they had this tremendous mandate after the 2024 election.
Right. Their mandate is to just bury the Constitution. They got the mandate.
Well, but all of a sudden they realize they really don't have much of a mandate. And they're also worried because the trend and the polling has looked like very much like this Pennsylvania senatorial district down in Florida to fill in Mike Waltz's seat. He became the was the national security?
Yeah, he's in the
NSI.
Yeah, no, that's Tulsi Gabbard. He's the national.
No, she's the DN. She's the DN.
Oh, she's the DNI, right? There are too many letters here.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's the president's national security director.
Security, yeah. Right? And that was a Trump plus 30 district. And right now, some of the polling shows that the Democrats within the margin of error. And he's been outspending the Republican. So that seat could fall by the wayside. And it's also Matt Gaetz's seat is up for grabs. But that one seems fairly safe. But we don't know. We do know that Elise Stefanik, who had been nominated for UN ambassador and whose nomination was just waiting for a confirmation vote, all of a sudden had her nomination pulled for the UN ambassador, or she was asked to withdraw it because the Republicans don't think that they could hold on to her congressional seat.
In New York State.
In New York State, and yeah. It's very, very thin.
Well, that certainly must make her ticked off.
Yeah. I mean, what she did in order to get to that prominence is essentially she sold her soul. She changed from being a moderate, common sense type of Republican in a swing type district into a MAGA, and a heavy MAGA. And of course, she was the one who asked the big questions of the university presidents of Columbia, MIT, and Penn about anti-Semitism, and their answers wound up losing all of them their job.
Well, but it didn't help her. She lost her job.
Well, she lost her, a big appointment. Yeah. She was going around her district and holding goodbye. It was a goodbye tour.
Right.
And they were only waiting. She'd already gotten through the committee. She'd had her hearing. It was just that they just had a call to vote. And now that opportunity's gone. But again, it's what's been symbolized here. That, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the Democrats being at a low point in terms of popularity and what have you. And now, all of a sudden, they're winning elections in places they shouldn't be winning or competitive. I saw James Carville this week on television, and someone brought that thing up, and also that Trump's personal popularity is at an all-time high for him. It's still low, but it's at an all-time high. And Carville said, what does that matter? What matters is elections.
Right.
And the Republicans are losing them. People are very dissatisfied. There are meetings all over the country, town hall meetings, where the Republican representatives are getting a face full of boos and hisses and what have you, and they're not satisfying their constituents about what the constituents are seeing. They're worried about Social Security, about VA benefits, about health care, and these representatives and senators to a person keep in essence sticking to the MAGA line, and they're finding out that they're not on Fox TV. They're not in the silo, but they're in the real world, and things are not looking good. Now, both Dave McCormick, that's the new senator, and Rob Bresnahan have had town hall meetings these last week, but there have been virtual meetings. And what's happened is that the questions are screened. You have to write the question in. Bresnahan is trying to tack more towards the center, but he knows he's on very thin ice, particularly after he voted to advance the Republican economic plan, tax plan, which calls for the elimination of $880 million. And the only place it could come from is Medicaid. McCormick, you wonder about him and backing the nominees that are in high level national security positions. And we saw this week what happened with those people who the Democrats contended were not qualified.
What do you mean? Just because they screwed everything up, they're not qualified?
It's not just that they screwed it up, but how they screwed it up.
Well, they screwed it up royally.
Yeah.
And they screwed it up over numerous days, not just one day. The screw up lasted 3 days.
we don't know. You know, the question is who's more responsible, Mike Waltz or Pete Hegseth? Trump seems to be backing Hegseth a little bit more than Waltz.
But he's not going to fire either one of them.
No, he can't admit that.
Yeah.
At this point, but don't be surprised if somewhere down the road there is a vacancy in either one of those positions. But the other thing is the interesting way that the Trump administration is going about defending these people. First of all, whether they're defending them at all. rather than saying something went wrong and we're going to correct it, they keep pretending that nothing went wrong. This is what Trump does.
Right.
Never admit that you've made a mistake. Double down on it and attack the press and attack your opponents. And it's just not going that well. It's just not going that well for them.
The newspapers and the commentators that have pointed out the absolute fiasco that they got themselves into doing what they wanted to do never talk about what it is they wanted to do. What they did, what this is all about, was they wanted to kill one guy. So they blew up an apartment house that was filled with people to get that one guy. That's what this is all about. That they don't apologize for. That they're delighted with.
Him and his girlfriend and maybe some of his kids.
For sure. So, to me, these guys are glorying in the fact that they committed a war crime. That's what they did. It's incredible. I don't understand why people don't point to that as well.
Well, they also blew open their contacts with the Israeli intelligence community.
Exactly. Well, that came out too, right.
Yeah. This isn't the first time they've done that. If you remember, Donald Trump had the Russians in the Oval Office and was bragging about things and revealed certain things that the Israeli intelligence had provided the United States. So,
well, because all of this is to show how important they are, what big shots they are. They're always showing off.
Well, that's the purpose is to show it off.
Yeah.
This is what Trump does. It's perception rather than reality, making it look like we're doing things, and rather than really doing things in a proper manner and effectively.
How about doing the proper thing?
Yeah.
That's already something. If you read the actual transcript, you listen to the transcript, because you can, Vance says, don't do this. We shouldn't do this. You want my opinion? He says, we shouldn't do this because we're only doing this for messaging. In other words, it has no military significance. We're only doing it for messaging. And I don't think the president realizes that the message we're sending in the Middle East is opposed. It contradicts the message that he's sending in Europe. How about that?
Well, but Stephen Miller cut it short.
Stephen Miller cut it short. He said, the president wants it done. Do it. Whereupon Vance says, well, so Hegseth says, yep. There's no reason. We might as well do it. Do it later. Do it now. But we got to do it. He wants it done now. We'll do it. So Vance says, all right, if you want it done, I'm for it.
They were messaging on an unsecured phone. It was an encrypted phone, but it's not secure. You had people on there that were, one was in Moscow in Russia.
Yeah, one was the real estate buddy of his, Steve.
Yeah,
Steve Witkoff.
And the other one was the Tulsi Gabbard was in South Asia.
Yeah, she started. She took part at one point in Thailand, and then a day later, she took part because this thing went on for a few days, and she takes part in Japan.
Yeah.
Well, both Thailand and Japan are riddled with counter-espionage.
Sure.
But I don't suppose they know that. Well, she's the director. She doesn't necessarily know everything.
But, you know, again, it's about appearances. It's the show, and it's to, you know, to play, to placate an audience of one.
Exactly. Now, a professor, or a former professor at the Army War College, who has a Substack, writes about, he says that two things happened that are very important. A week ago, Musk was supposed to have a briefing about the Pentagon's plans for countering the Chinese in case the Chinese invade or move to invade Taiwan. And Musk was actually in the building on his way to the briefing room when that became public. And the briefing had to be called off on the spot. The briefers were in the room. But it had to be called off, and to save face, Musk spent an hour chit-chatting with Hegseth about nothing, and then he went home. Now you have this leak, the signal leak, about the Houthis. So this guy writes, these two things could not have happened unless there is some group of people that we don't know who they are, who did it, who revealed it, who leaked it, who are, that there is a deep state cell. They are in existence. These two events demonstrate that it's so. That's interesting.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be. That's right. He prefaces the article with a long history of the first deep throat. And he points out that the first deep throat wasn't discovered by Woodward and Bernstein. He picked Bernstein and Woodward and revealed himself to them. And orchestrated it, and they didn't say who it was, and nobody knew who it was for 39 years until he was on his deathbed when he said, "I did it." Mark Felt, number two man in the FBI, and this guy says we're looking at the same thing.
Well,
it's interesting.
Yeah, we're looking a lot.
I mean, otherwise, how do you explain all of a sudden Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor of the Atlantic, you know, gets put on the call? How did that happen? Somebody did it. Somehow it happened. How do you explain that all of a sudden Musk is supposed to get this briefing and it becomes known? All of a sudden it becomes known. Somebody told. Somebody knew about it, and somebody told about it.
The administration is leaking.
Good. Good.
Good. But, you know, there are other things. Again, I want to go back to the fact that they want to, everything is for show. So this week we had a couple of other instances of for show. We had Christy Noem going down to El Salvador, standing in front of the prison.
In one of those baseball caps and a camouflage uniform.
Yeah, and a $50,000 or $60,000 Rolex on her wrist.
That doesn't come with a uniform?
No.
Oh.
And they, you know, and someone said, you're not supposed to use prisoners as props, you know, for propaganda purposes. And she was out there, you know, trying to boost, what is her position? She's Secretary of
Homeland Security.
Security, yeah. And, then we had the incident where ICE walked up to a woman who's here legally, had written out, she's at Tufts University, and she had co-signed an op-ed. And a bunch of ICE agents masked.
Well, you don't know that they're ICE agents. If you see the video, what you see is six people dressed in black, not a uniform, just in black hoodies with masks on.
Right.
Surrounding her.
surrounding her and taking her away.
Yeah.
Without identifying themselves. And I understand that she's now in detention some 1,500 miles away.
Yeah, Louisiana.
Louisiana. I mean, that has all the markings of a kidnapping. It's what you used to hear about in dictatorial regimes, people disappearing in Argentina, if you remember, and people, and in other places, and you know, no regard for due process. The only thing that's really
well, they can't do it with due process, because with due process you have to commit a crime. You can't just be whisked away. With due process, you'd be able to, right away she would show. All I did was, in her case, signed an op-ed. They're not even charging her with a crime. No. They're just charging that she shouldn't be in the country.
Right, because of the, that she, it's a privilege, she has no right to be here.
Right. If you disagree with the administration, you don't have the privilege to be in America.
Okay, right.
So how about me? I got born here. I don't agree with the administration. Do I have to go back to the womb?
Oh, Jake. I don't know. Maybe back to the family origins in Europe. I don't know.
They don't want me.
Where they've been stopped is in the courts. The courts have been essentially ruling against them.
Well, this was a terrible week for Trump, right?
Yeah. On a number of fronts, this being one of them, telling them that they can't deport these people without further permission of the courts. And then there also is the issue of the some of the agencies that he's been shutting down and being told that you can't do that. I was supposed to go to a lecture this week by someone from the U.S. Institute of Peace, and I got tied up. I couldn't go, and I don't know what happened because everybody got fired from that organization earlier in the week. And then we have the law firms, and it's been interesting that the two of the biggest, Paul Weiss and Skadden Arps, decided to cave to the administration and negotiate some deal. But a bunch of others have been fighting it, and they've been winning in the courtroom. Judges don't take very lightly to threats against people having a right to bring cases in court.
And these law firms, these are Republican law firms. These are famous Republican law firms. These are not. Yeah. This is not Kunstler. You know, this is not Leonard Boudin. This is. Jenner and Block, right? This is Covington and Berlin.
What was it? Wilmer and Hale?
Wilmer and Hale, right, exactly.
Yeah. All of these places. I thought Mark Elias, who, as you know, is the one that bringing all these lawsuits about election law and the rights of people to vote, had a good comment. I thought he had the best one. He said, Paul Weiss came out and said, well, we were afraid we were losing clients and we were going to lose associates if we didn't do this. And Mark Elias said, who would ever want to hire a law firm that won't even defend itself? They're okay.
Isn't this exactly how the establishment lawyers, the establishment CEOs in Nazi Germany behaved?
Yeah. And they didn't learn. I mean, if you listen to Ruth Ben-Ghiad, who explains all this, this only emboldens the administration. They don't understand that they cave, they give concessions, and he's still going to attack them. He's still going to do things to them. But they give up the right to really fight. Timothy Snyder...
He's moved.
About,
he moved.
He moved to Canada.
Yeah.
Along, he and
his wife.
Two other professors.
Well, one is his wife.
One is his wife, and who's the other? The other one. But anyway, Snyder. His rule on not terrorism, but on
authoritarianism.
Authoritarianism is don't obey in advance.
Right.
You know, fight it.
Right.
Fight it.
Right.
And I'm reminded, you know, the big law firms were talking about putting up a joint front, and then these others decided to break with that. But I think a good number of the others are going to continue to fight. I would hope that they would. But it reminds me of Ben Franklin, who said, you know, during the Constitutional or during the Continental Congress, gentlemen, if we don't hang together, we shall surely hang alone. He promoted the unite or die flag, that one where the snake is all cut up into different pieces,
yeah,
representing the different the different colonies.
Yeah, the 13 colonies, right?
Yeah. That's really the way that really should go. The people have to learn to fight on these things.
Well, meanwhile, the establishment, no part of the establishment has really come up with a strategy to fight. They haven't done it. They just haven't done it. No part of them.
No.
Not the Democratic Party, not the corporate establishment, not the legal establishment. None
but
of them.
But the people are out there.
The people want to fight.
They're protesting out in front of Tesla.
And they're taking whatever leadership they can take.
Yes, or Tesla showrooms, they're not dealerships.
Yeah.
Things
and
like
these,
that.
And there's these really gigantic meetings in various election districts.
Yes.
Of course, they're not called by Republicans. They're called, and they're not even called by Democrats necessarily. They're called by some Democrats who travel around organizing these meetings, which the local people respond to and are very happy to have them.
We're supposed to have these meetings in these town halls here in Bresnahan's district coming up. I do want to mention coming up this week on April 1st is the election in Wisconsin, which
Musk is trying to buy votes for.
$1 million a pop. And the latest polls have the Democrat ahead. Now we'll see. Hopefully that the Democrat will win, and then we have to see if there's. The Democrats have made Musk the target. The Republicans have gone MAGA with their candidate. Having pictures of him and Trump on billboards together,
mm-hmm.
and using sloganeering that's similar to MAGA stuff, but the Democrats have gone against Musk, and I thought that's the way that we should be doing it in Pennsylvania on the judicial retention elections here for the Supreme Court justices. We'll see. And then we'll have to see whether or not when they bring the dog and pony show, the Republicans, to Pennsylvania, whether they change tactics or they double down. I don't know if they're capable of changing tactics.
They're not capable of changing tactics. But you still have to oppose them.
Yeah, they'll go down with the ship on that because if they change tactics, they upset the one person who they perform for.
Exactly. All right, we got something to look forward to next week that we know about. There's plenty that's going to happen next week that we at this moment don't know about.
Yeah.
So I'll see you next week.
Yeah, there's going to be a protest rally on next Saturday and. On Courthouse Square in Scranton. And of course, the good thing this week, the good thing was that the baseball season has started in earnest. The boys of summer are back.
All right.
All right.
If we can get you out of the ballpark, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.